212-209-2950. Again, that's 212-209-2950. Hey, it's our old number, but it's new again. Because everything old is new again. I like it.
FM, WBAI, New York.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It is most probably 5 a.m. and you're listening to All, Oh, Middle Third, We Hardly Knew Ye, Radio, WBAI, New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear. And a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
We're going to talk about various things on this radio program, and you can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a navigation frame in the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that, and you will get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the WBAI archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 104th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we can't reference them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top international story of this week is, on Twitter, we have rocketed up to the gigantic number of 123 followers, and the whole world is just amazed. Nobody knew there were that many people on Twitter. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, September 14th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, the COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 599,897,310 on Friday. Obviously, it's going to be over 600 million by the time you hear this. And global deaths reached 6,483,902. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 94,119,931, and the death toll in America was officially 1,043,686. So 3,560 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. That's a couple of hundred higher than the death rate we'd had for the previous weeks. The pandemic is not over, even though a lot of people are behaving as if it were, including the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. And this was all mostly preventable. This didn't have to happen. In other COVID-19 news, a guy named Scott Eli Harris of Aubrey, Texas, has been sentenced to 6 months in federal prison for sending a threatening and racist message to a Maryland medical doctor who publicly advocated for the COVID-19 vaccine. Among Mr. Harris's message to the doctor was, quote, "Never going to take your wonder drug. My 12-gauge promises I won't," unquote. And, quote, "I'm a fifth-generation U.S. Army veteran and a sniper. I can't wait for the shooting to start," unquote. I don't know, saying you can't wait for the shooting to start, shouldn't that, like, disqualify him for from having any kind of a license for a gun or something? Well, it's Texas, so you don't have a license for a gun. Just, hey, are you an idiot? Here's a gun! You know, that's Texas for you. And so, yeah, this is quite something. I don't know, is he going to be a sniper with his 12-gauge shotgun? That would be an interesting concept. Oh, boy. On the other hand, maybe he's full of crap, which a lot of these people who send out threats are. The threats also referenced the doctor's East Asian ethnicity. Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark said that, quote, "Members of our Asian American Pacific Islander communities should never have to live in fear of violence because of their race or national origin," unquote. And she added that, quote, "Threats of violence, especially those driven by racial animus and misguided beliefs concerning the COVID-19 pandemic, will not be tolerated," unquote. After his 6 months in federal prison, which I think should be longer, Harris is sentenced to 3 years of supervised release. In Michigan, Oakland County Judge Jacob Cunningham has issued a preliminary injunction that blocks county prosecutors from enforcing Michigan's 1931 law that bans abortion. In his ruling, the judge said that allowing the 91-year-old law to come into effect would, quote, "send the health care system into crisis, the extreme costs of which would then be put on the women of our great state and, not lost on this court, without any repercussion for the men who, without a doubt, are a necessary component to create a pregnancy," unquote. The Michigan law bans abortions without exception for cases of rape or incest. Quote, "The harm to the body of women and people capable of pregnancy in not issuing the injunction could not be more real, clear, present, and dangerous to the court. As currently applied, the court finds the law is chilling and dangerous to our state's population of childbearing people and the medical professionals who care for them," unquote. Michigan's Democratic governor, Gretchen Whitmer, said, quote, "The sad reality is that a number of leaders in the state are actively looking for ways to make sure Michigan's draconian 1931 law is the law of the land. I am proud of my team today, but our work continues," unquote. Two Republican county prosecutors are apparently planning an appeal of the judge's ruling. There is a possibility of a ballot initiative regarding abortion in the fall. There is some hope that it would be as successful as the one in Kansas was earlier this year. Speaking of Kansas, there's going to be a recount of the ballots for that measure. One Melissa Levitt, a resident of Colby, Kansas, made the recount request just before the deadline for such a request and, after fundraising for the recount, posted a $200,000 bond to cover the cost of it. Given that it was a landslide vote to not ban abortions in Kansas, this recount will mostly be a waste of time. Maybe some of them figure that their God will change the votes during the recount. State Elections Director for the Kansas Secretary of State's Office, Brian Caskey, said that recounts normally reinforce the Election Day results. Quote, "We stand by the results and will do the recount," he said. And Pickles of the North has received our boarding passes for going into outer space again. Oh, we keep going into outer space on this radio program. Tell us where we're going this time, my dear.
Oh, last time it was Mars, and this time it's to the moon. We've racked up like 1.1 billion travel miles. Yes, there's going to be a fresh moon mission, finally, after all these decades. Oh, the last human voyage to the moon was December 1972, Apollo 17. But this Monday, August 29th, Monday morning, 8:33 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, there's a two-hour launch opportunity for the next planned human moon mission. Now, there won't be actual humans on this because they're going to test everything up the wazoo, as they say.
Oh, they have wazoos in the space program
now. Oh, yes, you must be very careful not to get your wazoo radiated in space. But this is going to be the launch of the Artemis 1 mission. Of course, Artemis was the sister of Apollo in Greek mythology. She was the huntress, beloved by many women. Anyway, Monday, August 29th, they're going to be showing it on TV right before the launch, if weather permits, and let's hope it will. If you go up to NASA's website, they're going to start stuff 2 hours before that. And the Orion spacecraft will carry three Moonikins, as they're calling them. And these are Moonikin mannequins. And they have them all geared up. One of them has a spacesuit on, and he has actually got a name. His name is Arturo Ramos, Moonikin Arturo Ramos. And he was one of the engineers, very important, Apollo 13, who helped get the astronauts home. So that's why that Moonikin is named after him. They're going to see how the spacesuit goes. They've got monitors on the other two Moonikins to see how they fare. I believe the Orion spacecraft can carry 4 to 6 astronauts, but just three Moonikins this time around.
Crash test dummies? Oh, my.
Well, let's hope they're not crash ones. And also there are going to be like 10 CubeSats, the little tiny satellites. And they're going to be doing all kinds of different things up there. And they're going to be launched along as the ship is going along. They'll be like launched from the ship. And one of them is going to carry yeast in space. They're going to see what happens to yeast with radiation, which will have an impact on how they take care of people. I mean, the big, big problem going to the moon or Mars or an asteroid is radiation. You got to really protect your crew, and it's a difficult thing to do.
And we're not 100% sure of how to do this.
That's true.
I mean, there are trade-offs. One of the things is, yes, you would have a spaceship that's out in space that is lined with significant amounts of lead. Well, lead weighs a lot, and how the hell are you launching something like that into space? And, yeah, the radiation issue may actually be something that makes it so humans really don't get off this planet long term. And, yeah, that kind of thing could happen. And, yeah, yeast into space to see how it happens when it gets radiation on it. Well, I think we've seen a number of movies from the 50s about what happens with that, but I guess we'll see if that happens now. But so the deal is that these aren't going to be the CubeSats that are orbiting the Earth in low Earth orbit. These are going to be out in space, maybe around the moon or beyond the moon.
At least one of them, from what I've seen, they have a really cool map. Oh, it makes me think back to the Apollo missions when I was like 11 and I had the map of, you know, the Earth to the moon up on my wall. And so they have one. You can go to NASA's website and download it, actually. Yes, but at least one of them is going to be around the moon. Other two is along the trajectory? Yes, it's going to be going along the trajectory from the Earth to the Moon. So, now, the Orion spacecraft sits on top of the Space Launch System, or as they call it, the SLS, which is 322 feet high. Now, that's not as high as the Saturn V, which launched all the Apollo missions into space. That was 363 feet. But the SLS is more powerful. There's 8.8 million pounds of thrust when that baby takes off. Oh, man. Wow. They also have a launch abort system, which is really good. And it's very necessary for these kinds of missions.
Yes.
Because, of course, like anything, any flying machine, the most dangerous part is the launch and the re-entry. So if you're on a plane or on a rocket.
Well, for people on the ground, it's the launch that could be a problem. Coming back is much less of a problem. But basically what you're doing to get this 1.8 million pounds of thrust is you're sending this huge bomb up.
Hey, baby, that's 8.8 million pounds of thrust.
Okay. misquoted there. Go ahead, my dear.
Well, it's very good that they have a way of getting the Orion spacecraft away from the rocket if something goes wrong. And this abort system can go from 0 to 500 miles per hour in 2 seconds.
Oh, man.
I can't even imagine what that might feel like.
How many G's do you pull then, I think?
Yikes.
You got to be in good health to survive that. 0 to 500 in 2 seconds. Oh, man.
And there's four rocket engines on the bottom of this thing. I think they call them RS-25s, but I don't know a whole lot about that. The mission duration is 42 days, 3 hours, 20 minutes. The total distance the craft will have traveled by the end is 1.3 million miles. Yes, they're going to send it out into space around the moon and then sort of farther out and test stuff. And this is very cool. Reentry speed is going to be 20,000 miles per hour, Mach 2. And the splashdown occurs October 10th, if everything goes well. And that will be in the Pacific. And during the flight, it's going to be 60 miles above the moon at its closest point, the Orion spacecraft, and at 38,000 nautical miles from the moon. Oh, I'm not sure if that's the farthest point, but that is so.
Yeah, that's going to be.
That's really something. And they're going to test, the wazoo out of everything. And why do I and Arpal think this is so important? It is important. It's important to discover things. 60 years ago, President Kennedy gave a speech at Rice University in Texas, and it was to encourage the nation to get involved in the space program and get behind the space program. Yes, there was a Cold War. Yes, the Russians were sending stuff up to the moon. You know, I think they'd sent a lander up there. And the big space race was, we're going to send a human being to the moon. But part of this speech, he said, we set sail on this new sea because there is a new knowledge to be gained and new rights to be won, and they must be won and used for the progress of all people. Whether it will become a force for good or ill depends on man, and only if the United States occupies a position of preeminence can we help decide whether this new ocean will be a sea of peace or a new terrifying theater of war. And that was very true back then. And you know what? It's still true today, because not everybody feels that way. Not every nation feels that way about space.
Yeah, we talked last time about since the Russians are pulling out of the International Space Station and say they're going to put their own up there, whether they will or not is a question. If they put their own up there, are they going to arm it? And how are they going to arm it? We pointed out before that at one point they did have some people up there because they couldn't operate a spy satellite decently without people putting their hands on it. And the thing had a 37-millimeter gun on it to shoot down any American spacecraft they might deem worthy of shooting down. And the thing is, you know, I mean, it's like the novel 2001, A Space Odyssey. A lot of what's going on in there is talking about the space-based rocket launchers that are in orbit around the Earth, and they've got loads of thermonuclear weapons aimed down. And so, yeah, this could happen, and we have to be up there. We have to be up there. We need to have a presence on the moon, because you don't know, you know, somebody's liable to get up there and try to claim it again. You know, people do that sort of stupid thing.
This also is not just the United States involved in this. This particular launch, the European Space Agency has created one of the parts of the craft. There are many nations that are going to be involved in the Lunar Gateway project, which is going to be a space station in orbit around the moon. And it is true, this is peaceful exploration, and it's scientific discovery. So many of the things that have made life better on Earth are here because of the space program. One example is really simple ways to filtrate water came out of the space program. So I think, yes, we choose to go to the moon again. I think that's a really good thing. And I'll be watching, and our ball will be watching Monday morning. And if you are able to, you should watch too.
What time is it again?
That's going to be, well, the actual launch window starts at 8:33, but online you can watch stuff before that, you know.
I'm sure that NASA, in their pre-launch program, will give loads and loads of data and details about exactly what's going on. And unlike a radio program, they'll be able to give you pictures of stuff and cartoons that show you things and all of that.
That is true, but do you, well, I was going to say, do you remember, but you weren't near, like, a TV when this happened.
When the Apollo, first yes. Apollo landing, yeah, yeah. I was not able to see the moon because it was bright middle of the day time where I was in Southeast Asia, whereas you were looking at the moon at night.
Well, I was looking at the moon, but on television, of course, it really was a radio event because that's what you had. You could hear them inside the capsule. You could hear them talking back and forth to NASA as, you know, they were going over the Sea of Tranquility and landing the craft by hand, Neil Armstrong. But you couldn't see what was going on. So they had like little cartoons, animation showing you this. But, and it's so funny because people tend to remember it as, oh, we saw it. No, you saw film of it afterwards. But that it really was a radio experience, that whole first landing on the moon.
Well, still, they had graphics they could give people. But yeah, it was good that loads of people involved in it had done radio.
This is true.
Today, I'm not sure people could do it quite as well today, but who knows, what the hell. And yeah, so we'll be watching that, I'm sure. And Richard M. Nixon killed the space program, but now maybe we're getting back to it. We could have been so far advanced by now if he hadn't killed the space program.
Well, NASA kept on working on this program, even though it got defunded. They just kept plugging away at it sort of quietly, and they took stuff from the shuttle, and they, you know, redid this and rebooted that. And so now here we are, the launch on Monday.
Okay, thank you, Pickles of the North. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And we mentioned at the top of the program that the middle third is nearly over. The middle third is, of course, the months of May, June, July, and August, which I think are the greatest months of the year. It's the middle third of the year. Pickles of the North doesn't always agree with that because it's too hot for her, but I like it. And so this is the last radio program of the middle third of 2022. And I haven't been out much in the middle third of 2022. Every time I've been out, it's been to go to the VA hospital for doctor stuff. And we did that again this past week. And we went to the doctor for the first in-person checkup in, 3 years or more, something like that. Because we have had to do them over the telephone because we have, because of the pandemic. And so we went to the doctor, and, it was good to see the doctor for a change in real life instead of over the phone. And my checkup was mostly pretty good. The week before, we'd gone in and had blood tests, and he thinks I'm doing okay. My HbA1c, which measures your blood glucose levels over a period of about 3 months, that's 5.8%, which is quite good. Many of you will have 5.8% if you don't have diabetes. And since I have diabetes, that's really good. Of course, a downside of keeping a lot of heavy control over your blood glucose levels is now and again you get hypoglycemia. And we had a meeting on Tuesday night over the telephone, and I just went, wah, because my blood sugar levels just dropped through the floor. You don't have to measure them with a meter or anything. You can feel it. So I had a very bad hypoglycemia then. But anyway, having an A1C of 5.8, that's really good stuff. So I was glad about that. The doctor was glad about that. The doctor was not glad about iron. Yeah, my iron's way down, so he's going to give me pills. I've been taking these pills, and they may do awful things to my gut. Awful things in terms of I won't feel good. And so we're going to see what happens. Yeah, I'm anemic. This is your anemic radio host here. In any event, so we have that. Also, I asked about polio, since polio is in the news at this point, and it's apparently getting passed around from the wastewater. It looks like it's getting passed around, and certain people have decided that they will not get vaccinated for anything. I don't know, some god dictated that they not get vaccinated, some god that never existed in the first place, but which was invented long before vaccinations started showing up, but somehow that god got to say don't have vaccinations when, the main thing that god would have been really paying attention to when it was created was, how many goats can a person own or something. In any event, I asked about polio because I have this odd history with that vaccine. What happened was when they first came out with the polio vaccine, in the very early 50s, actually in the late 40s, but it was in the 50s when they started giving it to the kids, there were some kids who got polio from it. It was a live vaccine. And so my mother said, we better hold off on this because some kids are getting it. And polio was a very big thing when I was a little kid. You had the March of Dimes telethons on TV where they would take like 30 hours or more of TV time and they would run this telethon and they would beg the same as we beg. And they would do it on TV, and it was full of pictures of these little kids with crutches, and some of them were in iron lungs because polio, officially poliomyelitis, attacks the myelin sheath of your nerves. And what that does is it's sort of like stripping the insulation off electrical wires that are near other electrical wires, which also have their insulation stripped, which means you get short circuits, basically. And so the nerve doesn't work right. And so it depends on how it hits you. For some people, and it's not just kids, Franklin Delano Roosevelt got it as an adult. And for some people, it makes it so that your legs don't work anymore. You can't walk anymore. The nerves are shot. That's one of the things, or your arms just don't work, or something doesn't work. For others, it's that the muscles you breathe with, the nerves to them are shot. And used to have something called the iron lung, which was like this scary thing. If you're a little kid and you're watching this marathon and other TV stories about polio, you're saying other kids of your age, and they're laying flat and their head is sticking out of this huge machine that's making this gulf noise constantly. It's breathing for them. And so, you know, it's scary stuff. And that kid can't move. Their hands aren't outside the iron lung, just their heads. And so they're there, and they have a mirror hooked up so the kid can look at the world statically through the mirror, because mostly they couldn't move their heads. And so you have this image, and you're seeing these kids that are your age, and they're in these things. It was scary as hell. And yeah, we have a different perception of polio from younger people today. Anyway, the issue was, my mother said, we ain't going to get that because it's giving some kids polio. And so when they had to sign up and go to school to get the polio shot, my mother said, we ain't signing. And so I didn't get that initial shot. And so we got I eventually got a later type of shot, because I'm not going to go through the whole history of those shots today. I got a later kind of shot. But I think I only got one when I was supposed to get two. Then at some point, I think I got the sugar cube shot, where they drop some cherry-flavored vaccine on a sugar cube and give it to the kid. Hey, the kids love sugar, right? And I think I may have gotten one of those. And then in the Army, the only one I recall is I go in for the shot. They give you tons of shots, because you're going from different parts of the country, and then you go into other countries. And the Army gives you shots like crazy. And so they just shot an eyedropper of liquid stuff. They didn't bother giving you a sugar cube in the Army. It's the Army. We don't give you sugar cubes. And anyway, so I got that. I think I only got one of those. So I told the doctor about this. I'm not sure about my status. Did all of that work, or was, because it's such a patchwork spread out over decades, am I vulnerable to this? And the doctor said that the Army doesn't let you not be vaccinated, that to be in the Army, you have to be vaccinated for polio. And he said, and also a lot of people my age, old farts, a lot of people my age do have this sort of patchwork history of the shots, because we were around for the very beginning of it all. And so he said the bottom line, that one of the first things he learned in medical school was the Army says you're vaccinated, and they make damn sure of it by vaccinating you themselves. So, yeah, so I guess I'm supposed to be okay with regard to polio. However, with the Army, you never know, because they screw everything up. Oh, well. Ah, there's the signal. There's the official WBAI signal. It's time to pitch. Oh, I know you don't like it. We're not thrilled with it either, but we got to do it. All right. What is this about? WBAI is listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio, and that's not just a slogan. We are sponsored by listeners. That's you. If you're listening, you're a listener, and you are where we get the sponsorship from for this radio station and this radio program. We need to have you sponsor us. We need to have listeners call in 1-212-209-2950 and say, hey, I want to become a member of WBAI in the name of Back of the Book. And there are two ways you can do it. One way is you can become a BAI buddy. And a BAI buddy is what we call a sustaining membership in WBAI, which means you are billed once a month. You make a donation once a month to WBAI. And what you do is you call 1-212-209-2950. When the person at the call center picks up, you tell them, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Be sure you mention Back of the Book, because otherwise they're liable to just say it's general or something, you know? And it'd also be good if you would write to me and say, I did this. I am rpm at glib.com, rpm at sign, glib.com. And let me know that you have donated or become a BAI buddy. Anyway, to become a BAI buddy, when you get the people at the call center and you tell them you want to become a BAI buddy, the name of Back of the Book, you will tell them how much you would like to donate on a monthly basis. Tell them you want to donate $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month, whatever you want. Whatever you could donate more, but I figure most people listening to this program, $5 to $20 a month is about what you're going to want to do. And then you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or your debit card charged for this donation. And that sets it up, and you'll be ready to go. So we need some people to call up and become BAI buddies for WBAI and Back of the Book. Please call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Alternatively, you could also make a one-time donation. That can be pretty much any amount you please, and you're just going to do it once, so you can just say, hey, here it goes. And so, yeah, if you want to donate $25 or more, you become a member of WBAI and Pacifica, so that if we have yet another referendum, you will be able to vote on that. And if you have anything else that comes up, including an election, which we're overdue for, but I think we aren't going to harp on that at this point in time. If we have an election this year for the local station board, you will be able to vote in that election. And so you do all of this by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying, hey, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And so that's what we got to get going on here. Management has mandated that we spend a certain amount of time bugging you about this. This is called pitching, and we're pitching to you. We don't have a premium on this program, and there are no more generic premiums. We used to have, well, actually, I think BAI buddies get a tote bag. So I think you get a really great tote bag that says WBAI on it. You could probably turn that inside out so people don't throw rocks at you when they see it. I don't know. You might be going through some Republican enclave somewhere. Anyway, watch out for those Republican enclaves. And so, yes, you get that premium. We don't have other premiums, and I don't know what we could do. We had thought of making a premium of, Pickles of the North cut my hair, and we were thinking of gathering up the hair and making that a premium. And I don't know, that might not meet Board of Health stuff. And we also never brought it past management, because I sort of suspect management will go through the roof if we try that. I don't know what to do for a premium. If you have an idea for a premium we could offer that would get people to donate to this program, please let us know about it. Again, rpm at glib.com. 1-212-209-2950. Whether you want to become a BAI buddy, a sustaining member, or if you want to make a one-time donation, you can donate to WBAI that way. We have not a gigantic headcount, not that many people working for money here at BAI. And so the thing is, we need to still keep everybody paid. This radio program, you know, we do it, we've pre-recorded. We can't bring it to the radio station, because that would obviate the reason why you can't go into the radio station and do it live. Well, one of the reasons. And so what happens is we post it somewhere, and we tell our own Maxwell J. Schmid, our saddle pal, Maxwell J. Schmied. Yes, that's some music from Maxwell. And we say, here it is, Max. And he downloads it. And then he puts it into a computer. And then it comes up so that at 5 o'clock in the morning, it is clicked upon the file. And bang, it goes out over the air. Without folks like Maxwell doing this stuff and setting it up, you couldn't hear it. So that's part of the deal. Well, and also, we can't afford to pay people full time all over the place, which means between midnight and 6 a.m., we don't have operations people working there, which means we have to get it to Maxwell before a certain deadline. We don't always meet the deadline, but the deadline isn't that dead. And so anyway, what happens then is Max puts it in and it stays there. But we don't have the money to pay people to cover midnight to 6 a.m. We used to. We don't anymore. We need that money. We get that money from you, the listeners. You are what powers this radio station. You pay for the antenna, which is a lot of money. It's over $16,000 a month. And you also pay the salaries of the people who work for pay here. Pickles and I are not among them. We're unpaid staff. So what you can do to keep all of this crazy stuff going on is call 1-212-209-2950 and say, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. And, you know, we do various different things. I was going to do, I had planned a bit of stuff about a new discovery regarding black holes, and I was going to fit it in to this scenario I have, which I think is very realistic, of, you know, we're worried about asteroids hitting us. We might also need to be a little bit worried about black holes hitting us, but they don't have to smack into you like an asteroid. They can simply enter the solar system. And then their gravity will start doing things. And again, it doesn't have to be supermassive or anything like that. There are tiny black holes. And, oh, we were going to talk about the details of that. However, today, we got Scientific American for September 2022. It's an all black holes issue. So I have to go over that because I don't want to spend all the time telling you about a new piece of research when there may be more detail in Scientific American. It's an interesting thing. It does make things look a little more dangerous, in my opinion. But anyway, we're not doing that, but we do that kind of thing. I anticipate talking about black holes on the next program. We talk about politics. Of course, you can't escape it. It's all this stuff going on. We talk about the pandemic. We talk about women's reproductive rights here on this program. And we talk about all these various things. There's a lot of very BAI stuff we do here. And there's stuff that you don't really even hear much on BAI about. So we need you to help us here. There's talk. There have been suggestions for people on the Community Advisory Board that BAI just rent out the air between midnight and 6 a.m., and we would rent it out to some other radio station, and they would take over the air for those 6 hours, and they would pay BAI. That might pay the bills. Well, this puts us into a race. Do you want to have all of the overnight programming destroyed? Because that's what will happen if the overnights are gone. I mean, 6 a.m., midnight to 6 a.m., 7 days a week, is when you get the overnight programs. They will go away if that suggestion becomes implemented. So it's you or that. If you don't fund these overnight programs, you're not going to have them, maybe. We're not sure what's going to go on here. I mean, certainly people are going to be fighting against that. The PNB, the National Board, I think has recently passed something, which I haven't seen, a motion allowing underwriting. And that could be a problem, too. All right, 1-212-209-2950. We need you to call that number. We need you to call that number right now. We need to hear from you. Oh, please give us a call at that number right now, 1-212-209-2950, and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and you'll get yourself a WBAI tote bag, and you can do it for $5 a month only. If you do it for $5 a month, that's fine. That means you're donating $60 over the course of a year. And come on, a lot of people can do that. All right, 1-212-209-2950. That's it. When this radio program ends, we will have completed 36 years of Back of the Book. We'll be doing our annual anniversary program next week on September 3rd. And the program actually aired for the first time on September 8th, 1986. I suppose that hardly anyone's going to be listening next week because it's going to be smack in the middle of the long Labor Day weekend, but we'll do it anyway. I hope some of our 19 listeners will tune in. We've been doing what's supposed to be a freeform live radio program on pre-recording for just about 2.5 years now. One problem we still face is that it would be dicey to ride the subways at 4 a.m. on a Saturday morning, because even if management would let us in, and they're not letting us in yet, we would still have that issue. People are being assaulted all over the place on the subway. Even the MTA is calling for one assailant who attacked a subway worker. And the assailant has been arrested at least 13 times, sometimes for stuff he did in the transit system. The MTA is calling for that guy to be banned from the subway system for 3 years. I don't know how that would be enforced. And on the streets, we have people being stabbed by people with mental problems. Elderly people are being slugged by people who at least seem to be unhinged. And innocent bystanders are being shot as gangs shoot it out on the streets of Greater New York. And then there are the drivers who are driving like crazy as if there are no rules. And there are all of these electric scooters and motorcycles and things. And they think they have the right of way on the sidewalk. And they are fast. And you can't get out of the way so easily. And this is all quite exacerbated by the pandemic and the things that have gone wrong along with it. So things are crazy out there, especially on the subway at 4 o'clock in the morning. If they said, hey, we're going to let you back in live, I don't know that we could do it. And, you know, crazy people continue to injure and kill people who are just walking down the street or waiting for a train. This has been going on, well, for a long time, but it's much worse after the pandemic got going. But people don't have to be homicidal maniacs to be a problem. In general, people can sometimes be really disappointing. Freya the walrus was euthanized by Norwegian authorities after warnings to people to leave the creature alone went unheeded. People continued to show up to swim near Freya, to feed her, to take selfies and videos with her, and to throw things at her. Some people have said that the Norwegian Directorate of Fisheries should have waited a few more days because the impending rainy season might have driven Freya back out to the sea. The Norwegian government said that the 1,300-pound animal had posed a risk to humans. Apparently not as big a risk as the humans posed to the walrus.
I am the walrus.
Yeah, we are all the walrus. Even when we're on the streets and subways of Greater New York. You don't have to be mentally deranged to be a problem. On Friday, as we were preparing the program, we got the sad news that former WBAI producer Fred Hershkowitz has passed away. And yeah, it's very sad. I remember Fred. He used to do a live radio program called Home Fries. It was a lot of music on the program and humor. He would do humor stuff on BAI, which can be very dangerous, let me tell you. Oh, boy, I could tell you stories about people who got in hot water for doing humor on WBAI. Gee whiz, the radio professional said, let's cast The Wizard of Oz with various people from BAI. And, oh, did she ever get in trouble with the general manager? That was like, what, 30 years ago? But so Fred Hershkowitz used to do music programming, and I think he was in charge of some of the laugh days. WBAI used to have entire days blocked out for things, and they used to say, okay, this will be this day, and another thing will be that day. We used to have a gay day. We used to have a gay day, and it wasn't just the day covering the march. We used to have gay day, and I helped produce a number of those, especially when I was the head of the Gay Men's Collective. I forget what the hell the damn title was. So we had Gay Day and that stuff. Fred Hershkowitz was somebody who was the executive producer of some of the laugh days. And it would be a day full of all sorts of humor. Some of them would be like novelty records. Some of them would be records comedians would put out. Lenny Bruce would put something out, and a lot of places wouldn't play that stuff. One of the things that got us was George Carlin's record about the words you can't say on the radio. Well, of course we played that, and we went to the Supreme Court with it, and even that Supreme Court stepped on us hard. In any event, Fred Hershkowitz used to, you know, produce music program primarily and various comedy programs. He did that kind of thing, and some people would, of course, denounce that. They said, we can't laugh until the revolution has happened. Yeah, okay, right. Fred Hershkowitz plowed through that and gave people some music to listen to, and he gave people some laughs, and he introduced some people to comedians and to records that they would otherwise never have heard. WBAI management has sent out a tweet saying that Fred Hershkowitz has passed away and that he was a producer of Home Fries. That was the main program he did. But I don't know how old he was. I think he was slightly older than I am. Oh, boy. Another long-time, old-time WBAI producer has passed away. And also, as we're preparing for the program, the affidavit for going in and raiding Donnie Bonespur Trump's basement has been released, heavily redacted. And even with the redactions, oh boy, the stuff this guy has done. Wow, from what they're showing, much less the stuff that's redacted, Trump just has to be indicted. How could you allow this to exist? It's in the public now. How could you allow that to exist and not indict him? I suspect that the Russians and the Chinese Communist Party have had operatives go through all of that material that was in his basement with or without Trump's active participation. I wouldn't be surprised if he gave it to the Russians. And so he didn't like the Chinese Communist Party so much, so he might have said no. But then, you know, these two nation states are experts at espionage, and it's a bunch of stuff dumped in a basement with no lock or anything on it. So, you know, you put in an operative who's a busboy, and on his first day, oh, golly, he gets lost and ends up in the basement. And he's down there with his super-duper camera taking pictures of stuff. And also the nuclear stuff, nuclear secrets and other kinds of secrets, including names of operatives who were spies in other countries. This is all mixed in with his photographs, individual sheets of paper, which means somebody went through this at some point. Who did that? Was that Trump? Was that somebody in his family? Were the spies sloppy as they went through it? We'll never know. But, geez, this is a terrible thing. This is exactly what you're supposed to not allow to have happen. There are people in prison for allowing stuff like this to happen. And Donald Trump must go to prison for this, along with some other things. That's been it for Back of the Book for 36 years. We'll be back next week during Labor Day weekend, and we'll be celebrating our 36th anniversary then. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
Take care of yourselves. Enjoy the waning days of the middle third. And above all, remember what that aging Dormouse said. We'll be right back.
Sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Break him with the sound of the trumpet.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's okay. I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Thanks to you.
Thank you for thinking of me. And I thank you.
I thank you.
Let's say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Thank you, thank you. Hey, Harry, old buddy, old pal.
So I want you to be my buddy.
You've got a friend.
Friends or buddies, as we like to refer to you as here at WBAI. Either way, we invite you to join us and become a member of this fine radio station. We want to partner with you, but we want to do it in the least imposing and most painless way possible. Here's the deal. It's called the Buddy Pledge. You give us your support for 12 months, and we give you access to the most eclectic music, as well as the best and thought-provoking news, talk, and community affairs. Sound good? See it in your heart to pledge a minimum of $10 per month. Each payment will automatically be deducted from your credit or bank statement, so there's no reminders needed. Just join us for a one-year membership and go online at www.give2wbai.org. That's give numeral 2wbai.org and be part of our vibrant community. WBAI New York.
Hello, this is Dr. Michio Kaku, host of Exploration, which reports on the impact of science on society, which is usually heard every Wednesday evening. First of all, Exploration is moving. That's right. From now on, it'll be broadcast on Saturdays at noon. So write that down. Mark that down on your calendar. Our time slot has been moved to Saturdays at noontime. Second, let me emphasize the importance of supporting WBAI with whatever you can afford. One way is to become a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member in the name of Exploration for $10, $15 or more a month by calling 212-209-2950. Now, write that number down. It's 212-209-2950. Now, another way is to go to our website, WBAI.org. Click on to the WBAI button on the upper right-hand corner of the website. So please now, call 212-209-2950. Or go to WBAI.org and make that pledge for social change.
This is WBAI, and this is Fred Eagle Smith for WBAI.